This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, January 30th, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Welcome, everybody. Glad to be here. It's the end of January, you know that?
I know. I was just thinking how fast January's gone.
Wow.
Really fast, actually.
Yep.
So here we are in the new year and ending up the first month. And tonight we're going to be talking about performing humanitarian acts. We'll get into that a little in just a few minutes. We'd like to welcome all of our live listeners as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you tuning in tonight or today, depending on your part of the world. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, where you can earn your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and, of course, our new site, newageclass.com, where every day you learn something new is a new age for you. So if you're interested in this, in a certificate course or a...
Well said.
Course, yeah, a little bit of a tagline there. If you're interested in a certificate or certification course, please visit newageclass.com. Or if you're interested in a metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Before we get into our program, as usual, we're going to do our profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. Now tonight, as we get into our topic, we're going to be highlighting this principle of belief 1. I just wanted to mention, too, that Dr. John Hightower, who is usually producing behind the scenes, is off planet tonight, and he will be back in our solar system, I think, next week.
He goes off planet.
Yeah.
Off planet. Oh, John, we love him. We're always glad that he's here.
Would behoove us, haven't used that word in a long time.
Good word.
To to read the principle of belief number one again, because it's kind of what our discussion is based on. And that is, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Now, before the program, Vicki was talking about the article that's on mchschurch.org under principle number one. And so I just want to draw some a couple of things from that. There's a reason why there are essentially two points to this first principle, that is, do no harm and do right. Do no harm, I mean, that's a great philosophy, and it's certainly important in our life. But it can also be passive. Doesn't mean it's always passive. It just means it can be passive. For example, do no harm. You witness somebody being mugged, and you're in a position to do something about it. Well, that's just an example off the top of my head. It could be any one of a zillion different examples. But if we do nothing when we should do something, well, we're not doing harm necessarily, but are we really doing the right thing? And that's why the second part of that is do right is included in this, because it's more active. So we're kind of covered both bases here with that. Go ahead.
Well, in that kind of a case, what we also have to realize is that silence gives permission.
Right.
So when we understand that if we're silenced, we're basically endorsing the behavior, then it takes on a whole new color. So the do right is many variables. You don't have to jump in if somebody's getting mugged, but it might help to, call 911.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just a small task.
Good point. Well stated there. So, humanitarian acts. Let's talk about that. And one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is I've created a new humanitarian award, and I named it after my father. And so it's called the F. Richard Kelly Humanitarian Award. And it's an award that I plan on giving out to selected individuals as I see, the opportunity to present that award. It's the highest humanitarian award we give. Right now it's the only one. But the reason that I named it after my late father is because of the example he set. If nothing, he was a very generous man, and it wasn't just generous with finances, because that wasn't always available, but he was generous just in a number of ways, especially in the encouragement of others. I remember back when I was a kid about 12 years ago. And there were a couple of times when two different and very much separated people said essentially the same thing to me. I remember probably as a teenager, one guy told me if there were more people like your dad on the planet, it'd be a better world. And several years later, when I was in my early 20s, a coworker who had dealt with my dad on a sales basis told me the same thing, almost verbatim. And, that always impressed me. And these people saw something in him, and he had a kind heart, a generous heart, and yet he was always quick to give an encouraging word, and he would do that. In fact, after he passed away, which has been a little over 10 years ago now, I was going through some of his stuff, kind of organizing his estate and getting it together, and I came across one of his file folders, and in it was just a number of letters, copies of letters that he had written to various people, just quick notes, one page, half a page, sometimes several pages, and just to encourage them. He knew that they were down and out, he knew that they were having a hard time, and he did that. And those are the kinds of things he did. He was always fair. He was, even growing up, he was always fair, and just, and it wasn't that he was overly lenient. He was lenient, but it was fair. I guess that's just the best word I can come up with. He was fair. And so all of this whole thing permeated who he was. And I just don't have a better example of somebody who was ready to help out and do the right thing when the opportunity presented itself, when he saw it. So that's the Humanitarian Award, the F.R. Kelly or F. Richard Kelly Humanitarian Award, which, and I'll be putting some information on mchschurch.org about that in the coming days with an example of the award itself. So.
But you just gave out that award for the first time, didn't you, Doug?
I did. I gave it to one of my doctoral graduates, Dr. Charles Broadway. He has spent a lifetime of doing some good works and self-sacrificing, and just he deserved it. So he was the first recipient. And right now I've only given it out once, so I'm sure that will change as we get opportunities. And if you know somebody who really, really has qualifies, I guess, I mean, who's really done some meaningful, and not just once or twice, but I mean who has demonstrated a lifetime of meaningful and good acts, then you can certainly nominate them or send me an email, admin@mchschurch.org. And I will consider them. Of course, I need information to do so. But anyway, so that's a little bit about the award. So let's talk about these humanitarian acts. I just gave you a bunch of examples in relating the story about my dad. You know, humanitarian acts don't have to be where we, you know, save a village from genocide. It's all kinds of smaller things, meaningful things, things that make a difference. You know, I'm always reminded of the star thrower story, you know, where the child is on the beach and there's a whole bunch of starfish that have washed up, and he's throwing them one by one back out into the ocean, and a journalist approaches him and says, you know, how do you think you're going to make any difference when there's so many starfish washed up on the beach here? And the little kid said, as he threw one back in, he says, it's going to make a big difference to this one. So,
good story.
Yeah, so we don't want to get discouraged about that. And as I've said so many times on this program, one of the greatest gifts we can give somebody is not money, but it's an encouraging word, the good word, an uplifting word. Build them up, because that's one of the big things that's in such short supply in our world, is just a good word of encouragement. And that can be done in so many ways. You know, hi, how are you today? That's encouraging. And, you know, and you ever ask that and somebody says, oh, I'm not doing so hot, or I'm okay. Well, you know, that's not encouraging. You know, like, who is it? Tom Hopkins, sales trainer. He says, if you just reply with unbelievable, it covers it both ways. So, you know, somebody says, how are you doing? You say, I'm unbelievable. You know, you've got it covered. So,
just give it different tones.
Yeah. Well, give it an upbeat tone, because they'll never, and that's encouraging. So those are some ideas.
You know, I have been so impacted in my life by extraordinary people, as you're describing, Doug. And there was a woman I had met in 1983. Her name was Jenny DeMint. And we had worked on a little project together, and there was just something about this woman that was so kind. And I remember going home, I'd actually given her a ride home, and as I drove home, I'm thinking, nobody's really that nice.
<You know? laughs>
No, come on. Yeah, come on, she's not that nice. She can't be that nice. And in fact, she was better than that nice when she retired from her work. I learned that at that time, and she lived many years longer, bless her heart, just died last year, and she had had at that point 17 overseas foster children.
Wow.
There was a list of 20 charities that she had been involved with. There was three of us over a period of years that she adopted, like her own, as foster daughters, and impacted our lives in ways we could never, ever repay her for. And on many occasions, I had said to her, I can't possibly give back to you what you have done for me, even if it's by encouragement or for my children and so on. I said, but I promise you I'll pass it on. But it started out with a double take, you know, and even a triple take, Doug, of it. Nobody's really this nice. And nobody's really that kind. What's in it for her? because this is, I think, what we do. We wonder what somebody wants. We live in a very fearful world now, you know. I mean, it's kind of an anomaly when somebody's really kind, and that saddens me in a way, but we're turning that around. I truly, truly believe that with all my heart, that very slowly these waves of, you know, changes in consciousness and attitudes are happening. But again, it just goes back to how one can impact so many others just by something that's not ordinary. And again, when I'm saying that we're a fearful kind of world, we don't expect goodness, and we think that there's something wrong with somebody who's kind, that they might be stupid, they might be naive, they might be, you know, we always assign a negative to it because we think, oh, well, they're not really with it. They don't understand the real world, you know, when it's competitive and hard and difficult and tough and, oh, my God. But that's not true. And what I've learned, you know, in my adult years, and I continue to, you know, reprocess this all the time, is the kindest people are generally the ones who've had the toughest time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Jenny DeMant was not naive. It took years. She wasn't one to talk about herself. It took me years to find out that, in fact, that she'd been brought up in an inner city area. Her mother died when she was very young. A brother died when he was 19. The father raised them. He later died. She'd had a lot of, you know, difficulty in her early years, and the things that she saw and endured, it just made her stronger, and that was in her nature. You know, it's in her nature to be a loving, kind woman and never underestimate her, you know. So it's for us to review what we think of in kind people. And I think that's part of restoring humanity and a humanitarian outlook, that it's like we have to shift it back around again, that we used to be more neighborly. We used to be more, you know, giving. It's like, oh, wow, are you doing that? Let me lend you a hand. Mm-hmm. And now it's because people are afraid of getting sued. They're afraid of, well, if they get mad at me, or I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or, well, it's none of my business. Because we've all heard those lines all the mm-hmm. time. But being a member of humanity doesn't know bounds like that. And at the very least, we can offer ourselves. Because usually an act of kindness takes less than 30 seconds, unless you're going to shovel snow, and it might take you 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah, so those are some good points, you know, and that's part of the doing right thing. And as you were talking there, it reminded me, too, of a couple of other little, I don't know, sayings or one-liners type of thing that, you know, if you're going to make a mistake, make it on the side of mercy. If someone does something, you know, give the benefit of the doubt, unless there's a good reason why you shouldn't. But, and I'm not talking about being gullible or credulous here, just, you know, give the benefit of the doubt as much as you can. And sometimes when we get into some of these situations, somebody's done something or whatever, you know, sometimes it's better to do the right or the kind thing instead of, quote, the right thing, unquote, you know. And look for those opportunities. Sometimes people can get so discouraged, stressed, depressed, that they end up behaving in altered ways that's not normal for them, and they might even make a mistake. And sometimes we need to just do the kind thing and instead of the, quote, right thing, and in an effort to help them out of it. So those are a couple of points as well.
You know, maybe we can list just a couple of things that people can do in their everyday life that doesn't distract from time or doesn't distract from effort, in as much as it promotes thinking.
Okay.
That when your child leaves for school, for instance, just say, I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, if the teacher had called you about some kind of homework, say, thank you very much for taking the time to call me. You know, that's what I mean by the change of thinking. Mm-hmm. Just that exercise of gratitude can make all the difference in somebody's world. Even if you're, and again, these are just gestures of words, but if there is, you're encountering somebody who is struggling with opening a door, just open the door.
And speaking of gratitude, that's a good point that I was thinking of earlier. Don't forget to say thanks. I mean, don't forget manners, you know, common courtesies. You know, if somebody does something for you, thank them and make it deliberate, not just a passing afterthought. And if somebody really does something for you, make sure you thank them at least twice. Always thank them. You know, don't just leave it at that. If you ask somebody to do something, and a lot of times, you know, we're interacting with people through email, so we're not face to face. So if somebody does something for you, thank them. And if you've requested something and they do it, be sure to email them back and say, thank you, I really appreciate that. Show them how you feel, you know. And these kinds of words really help. I really appreciate you doing that. That's just really great. Thanks so much. That's heartfelt. It's not. It's much better than just thanks, you know, that kind of a thing. And obviously the context of whatever the situation is will warrant it. But, you know, on the important stuff, always thank them twice at least, you know. Make sure that they understand. Don't just take it for granted. You know, we have this predominant attitude of entitlement on the parts of many people, and it's like they're entitled to it. Well, we're not entitled to anything. We make our way. We make our success. We make our journey. We make it happen. And so when people lighten our load, we thank them. We express the gratitude, because that's not only the common courtesy thing, it's the human thing to do. It's a merciful thing to do. It is doing right. And it is a humanitarian act.
Everyone wants to be validated.
Mm-hmm.
This is really important. Everyone wants to feel they've been seen, acknowledged, and that we're interacting. It's the inter-exchange, if you will. I don't know if that's a double entendre, but it's that everyone wants to feel like they have been important. And I'm not talking about the I'm special syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it. But if I've done 10 good things and nobody's acknowledged them, I say, well, what am I doing wrong here? You know? If I'm not creating some kind of wave. And, of course, that's not likely to happen. We'll talk about waves in a second, because we've got some good reports here for our listeners. But it's the interaction. And usually what I try to do is acknowledge the action, not just the individual. Like, that was a really great apple pie you dropped off. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also acknowledging the activity.
And there's a lot of humanitarian acts we can do in everyday life. There's a lot of vocations that involve humanitarian acts. Teachers is one. And you can be a teacher without being in the public school system, too. You can be a teacher. Are you a teacher? Are you teaching others? You can be an instructor. You can do workshops. You can do seminars. Things of that nature. You can spread good vibes and good knowledge and good practical life skills have a positive effect upon those in your sphere of influence. There's even at work, there's humanitarian acts that you can do, just small things. It's all part of paying it forward. It's all part of being a real life human being and being not only self-aware, but aware of the world around you. You know, it's interesting too, these programs that we do, they're humanitarian acts. And the topic tonight, you know, humanitarian acts, it's just like, you know, if I have a choice, do I want to listen to about a show about humanitarian acts, or do I want to listen to one about psychics or paranormal or ghosts or UFOs or something? Well, which one's more exciting? Well, obviously, the humanitarian acts probably is not going to win. And we have a number of topics like that are practical life skills, that it's what people need so desperately, and yet nobody really wants it, or at least not enough want it. And so if you're listening to this program, good for you. You know, listen to all of them, because you can pick up little tidbits and nuggets and little things that will make your life more successful and make you more professional and help you in your own growth. You know, it's like, what would I rather talk about? You know, I'd rather talk about all of it, whether it's paranormal or humanitarian acts or any of it. And yet these kinds of shows, you know, don't exactly result in the most listeners. So, but yet we do it because the world needs it. And if the world didn't need it, we wouldn't be talking about it. So even some of these seemingly boring or mundane topics can be of real value in people's lives if we have that attitude of lifelong learning, if we really get it, if we really expand our awareness and understand there's a much bigger picture here than just, you know, the exciting stuff. There's a lot of things that we need to do in life that make our lives better, you know. So don't discount the life skills. Don't discount the programs that talk about seemingly boring topics, because when it comes to making your life successful, these are the things that work, and we need to talk about them.
You know, we have to live with ourselves in good conscience, and that's part of the humanitarian element of being who we are, is in good conscience. And at the end of the day, have I become a better human being? Did I do the right thing? How can I improve myself as a human being? Now, I'm with you, Doug. To me, this topic is as exciting as anything else we might talk about. You know, anything else I might read about. I am just as interested to learn about the good deeds of people. You know, you're scanning through Facebook. I love all those little one-liners, you know, of that are encouraging and enlightening. And I equally like the ones that are educating and thought-provoking and hit you between the eyes. And because they're all the same in that they're important, you know. And they provoke us. They stir us in a place that improves our thinking. It improves our, hopefully, our behavior. And it prompts us to know that we're all in this together. You know, people who are listening to tonight's show, I would hope, I encourage that you're not alone. You know, we've all been beaten up in life, and we hope we, you know, enter the reality of life here. We've all had our hard moments and days and years, and I can look back and say, wow, that was a tough 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still here, and it can't get the better of me. A lot of things can happen, but it can't have my spirit. It cannot contaminate me in a bad way. You know, thought is power. And I did read something today that I thought was just the coolest thing, is that thought is the steering wheel of your life. And I went, wow, what a great visual.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that was just as important to me as reading about somebody's psychic experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
it just like, wow, what a good visual, what a good feel. Your thoughts are the steering wheel of your life. And I don't believe that there wasn't a credit to a name there, so, you know, I apologize if I didn't get it to share that part, not meaning to plagiarize, of course, but it's just given to give a point that all things are important and how we become better human beings.
Well,
that's my point.
And that's a good point. So if you're listening to this program, ask yourself, in what ways, even small ways, can I lighten a load of others? My children, my husband, my wife, my partner, my boss, my employees, whoever, you know, in what little ways can I lighten the load just a little bit? You know, it's like that old saying that the more you give, the more you keep. In other words, that positive spirit, that positive consciousness. And the more you give it away, the more of it you possess. It's like a never-ending bank account that keeps filling up. Wouldn't that be cool? So give it away, and you'll get it in return. There's so many ways to do these things on an everyday basis. So what can you do? It's like letting somebody in traffic. It's not trying to one-up people. It's not being overly competitive. It's about understanding that, look, folks, you know, we are born naked. We're going to die naked. I mean, we all have to put our socks on with one foot at a time. Same thing, you know. We're all human beings, and we're all looking for answers. And when we can tear ourselves away from the day-to-day eking out an existence, and that can consume us. We get so wrapped up in just trying to make ends meet, pay bills, that we've kind of forgotten that there's a much bigger picture out here. You know, what if there are aliens out there right now around in the atmosphere around the planet, you know, in orbit? What if they're there? Well, what about them? What's their story? And I know that there's life. The universe is teeming with life. I just know that. What about their story? How does it all contribute to the much bigger picture? What if there are parallel universes, multiple worlds theory? All those people in all those universes, an infinite number. What about them? What about the bigger picture? How does this all work? And what does it mean to our life today? When we start thinking like that and broaden out our thinking, we understand that these little petty disputes that we have here on this planet are pointless. We're just killing each other, you know? They're pointless, petty disputes. It's like little boys in a sandbox, each fighting over their corner. You know, we need to outgrow that mentality. We need to have fellow feeling and empathy. We need to have compassion for people, understanding that, generally speaking, people are trying to do the best they can with what they have to work with right here, right now, the knowledge, the skills, the experience. And most people do not lie awake at night scheming on how to screw other people. And it just doesn't happen. They're just trying. And we're all at different levels, all the, you know, different mile markers on our journey. We've learned things. We have more things to learn. You know, that whole process of enlightenment is not a destination. It's a journey. And it just continues to grow.
Pick your battles. And it's a pick your battles. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff, don't sweat it. You know, I've been in many situations, and look, do I get PO'd? You bet. People would ask me that.
No, say it ain't so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little, you know, it's a little thing, human. You know, I have a lot of passion. I get PO'd. But somebody might say, well, what are you going to do about it? And I say, nothing. That was just a venting moment. Well, why aren't you going to do anything? Well, because there's nothing to do. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's pointless. It's senseless.
Do further harm, perhaps.
Well, yeah, it's pick your battles. There's, you know, we have a lot of things to correct in this world, but it begins with the individual. It begins with the individual's behaviors, their willingness to do no harm, do right, and to stand up for what you believe is right, but continue in your daily life to become a better human being. That's how we change the planet. And, you know, it's just pointless to, like Doug, when you say we're, you know, obsessed with all these petty little things, we are. There are bigger fish to fry. And even though we are taking on some huge changes in the world, it begins with the individual. It begins with me. It begins with you, Doug. It begins with everybody listening. It begins with the individual and their consciousness. Mm-hmm. How do you want to behave? You decide how you want to behave, and you decide what it is that we're working for. And I think this is a really important point to make. What are we doing this for? You know, why? If we're not doing, that's right. So if we're not living life to be progressive and fulfill some kind of journey somewhere, if we set this out for ourselves, there has to be an improvement. Well, I decide who's the boss of me. I decide who's the boss of my mind. I decide how I'm going to behave. There's a lot of things I encounter. I don't like it, but I'll decide what I get involved with. I'll decide based on the principles that I set for my life and what I believe is good for those in my life and whatever kinds of changes I want to make. So these are important things for us to remember, that being really PO to the point of violence or anger is senseless. It feeds the negativity, and that's the last thing that we want to do. One of the things that I had come across, which I think is really extraordinary reading, I'm going to take this moment, Doug, to bring up this, the Academic Research Center. It's a social cognitive network is what it is. Boy, these big names for things, hey? There's a statement here, when they have kind of assessed this, when the number of committed opinion holders is below 10%, there's no visible progress in the spread of ideas. Now, this is understanding sociology, that when it's more than 10%, let me say this again, scientists at this Rensselaer, I think I've pronounced that right, Polytechnic Institute, found that when just 10% of the population holds an unshakable belief, their belief will always be adopted by the majority of the society. Which is very interesting because we know about the power of thought. We know about the power of meditation. You get enough people together, you know, who are meditating and projecting an energy, it impacts the energy. Now, you get enough people who stand in the place of rightness and in correct action, it's automatically going to be adopted by the main. Of course, everybody's going to demonstrate that a little bit differently. But I found this fascinating, you know, this study really fascinating. That would just be one individual in a room of 10, Doug.
Yeah, what, 10%?
You know, two people in a room of 20. That's how easily one good thought can contaminate people in a positive way. And that, to me, is part of what we as intelligent beings have the power to do. If we are conscious of that, if we are aware that it might take a day or two, but you stand in what you believe and stand in the right action of your everyday life, there are people who are impacted. You may not get the feedback right away, but you can live with yourself and you know that you're becoming a better human being. It'll come back. You'll see it later. It's almost like a promise I can make. You'll see it later. Sometimes it just takes a little time, you know? So I love this little study. I just thought it was really relevant to what we're talking about tonight, and just it just correlates beautifully with the power of thought and, you know, projecting an image
and
lots
so
of people.
Smaller numbers can make a difference.
Sure they can.
You know, we've also been talking about doing right a lot so far. You know, let's give a little attention to doing no harm. And there are a number of ways we can do no harm, especially when it comes to metaphysics. One of the ways we can do no harm is to not promote fear. There's so many in the field who are fear-based. They promote fear. You know, and I mean, this can cover a lot of areas. People in the paranormal field, certain ones can promote fear by telling...
End of the world?
Well, yeah, the whole end of the world thing. That's just foregone conclusion. But such areas as like paranormal investigators who, you know, believe in demons and tell people that, well, they may have a demon or a malevolent spirit, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, I've had clients who told me that previous investigators told them that self-hypnosis audios opened up the mind to demonic control and, you know, pure unadulterated BS like that. And they promote fear. They do harm. And that's just not a good way to do it. Don't promote fear. If you're a paranormal investigator and you believe in demons, stop it. They don't exist. They are not real. You know, be more afraid of people than you ever will a spirit or anything like that, because spirits cannot hurt you. And don't forget what I've always said. You know, if you're self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone or anything else. And most people are possessed by others, other human beings. So, you know, don't promote fear. And that's one way we can do no harm. Retaliating, assuming the worst, not giving the benefit of the doubt, and then retaliating can also be ways that we can do harm. Being aggressive and abrupt in our communication style, in our emails. Those are ways that we're really doing harm. You know, berating people, being judgmental of people is another way to do harm. So look at your life and ask, okay, am I judgmental? Am I not giving the benefit of the doubt? Am I assuming the worst? If so, you can turn that around, you know, to do no harm, you know, having a pleasant personality and a kind heart. Those are ways of not only to do no harm, but also to do right. And, you know, Vicki, you talked about your example in the beginning. I talked about my dad. You know, people with kind hearts who are busy doing positive work.
They changed my life. Changed my life, Doug.
And they don't have time to get involved in petty gossip, disputes, you know, who's right, who's wrong. They're too busy doing good works. And that's what we all need to be involved with. You know, if you find yourself responding to forums and different places, Facebook, whatever, you know, and you're in arguments, you're in flame wars, you got too much time on your hands. Stop it. Go take that energy and use it wisely. Use it in a positive way. If you don't know what to do, go help at a soup kitchen. Go help with Habitat for Humanity. Go help with some nonprofit or some charity. Help feed the poor, whatever it is. But take that energy and devote it to something that's good, something that's right, something that does no harm. Because that kind of stuff is just petty. It's childish. And, you know, what are we in high school here? You know, let's grow up and let's start raising the vibrational level of the world. And we do that when we do no harm and when we do right.
I think that it's a very good idea to imagine yourself, or you know, anybody can do this, is imagine that you are not alone on the planet thinking the good things that you are and wishing for good things or wanting to meet good people. So here's an exercise, a meditation where you imagine a white light coming down through your head and down into your heart, taking deep breaths, having your relaxed state with yourself, opening your mind, projecting that white light forward out of your body, and connect with all the other people on your frequency who are in the world, because they are out there. Just know that they are out there, and feel your energy getting larger, tapping into that universe, tapping into other people's consciousness. It is, as Carl Jung would say, that collective unconscious. And know that you're not alone, and slowly start to attract, and this will happen, slowly starting to attract people who are of like mind, people who support a positive energy, who are a little bit happier. You will slowly see your life begin to change. Now, that's not to say crap won't happen, because it will, but you'll have better support systems, you'll have better mechanisms in place, and you'll have certainly a better attitude. You know, we're all in this together, folks. We really are. We're all human beings. We're all star stuff. We're all just people trying to figure it out. So.
And some of us have it all figured out, right?
Yeah, right. Haven't figured it all out, but, you know, we've figured out a good portion of it. It's like, I know who I am. So that's all I really need to know at the end of a day. And I know that I'm not alone in the way I think. Doug, you and I connected. We've connected with other people. We have students in the school. We're all aspiring to the same thing, and that is a greater consciousness and to become better human beings.
That's good points. Now, one of the things that we wanted to announce, too, is that we're going to try a little bit of a different formatting approach here. We're going to cut them down in size just a little bit in time, somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes, just to see if we can get a few more listeners. I know it's a busy world, busy life, so hopefully a little bit of a shorter show might help more people to get this message. I know we have somebody on hold on the switchboard, and if you're calling in to comment, I'm sorry we can't take your call. So many people call in to listen to, and we don't have Dr. John Hightower here to screen our calls for us, so apologize to you in advance. We've had a good show. We've talked about humanitarian acts. We've talked about these little things that can help improve your own growth. I mean, that's one of the big things about humanitarian acts, is just improving your own attitude and your own approach in life. So hopefully you found some good stuff you can use. And we appreciate taking your time to join us tonight.
You know, Dr. Doug Kelly, I'm going to say I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate you at the helm of IMHS and MCHS Church. And I'm glad for the work that you do. And I'm glad to be a part of that. Thank you very much.
You're very kind, and I appreciate all your help and support. I mean, I couldn't do it without you. No kidding on that one, but you do a lot. So, folks, we appreciate you too. We know you took time out to listen to this, and that means something to us as well. So please join us next week. We'll be talking about a topic that is taken from Principle of Belief number 2, which has to do with the indomitable power of the human spirit and finding the answers within ourselves. So that's all I got. Hope you have a great week. And until next week, think, listen, learn, grow, and live. Or some kind of order like that.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Good night.